You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dear Multi-Hyphenate from Quarantine. I love as I record these episodes, my spirits get higher and higher as I get more used to this life in my apartment. And I was just talking with a friend, actually a few friends, about this. And I think I'm pretty sure I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown before all this started, because I'm quite enjoying this moment where I can look inward and refocus myself and just kind of be kinder to myself and my schedule and my body, and do things that I really enjoy, as opposed to do things that I feel like I'm compelled to or obligated to do so. So I'm ready, obviously, to go back to work, and I miss all my clients and I miss Broadway, but I'm taking advantage of this time to really make sure that when we come back, when we could do our work, that I'm going to be ready and be focused. So I always talk about investment of time and money, and this is an investment of time. This is a moment where I can sit back and put myself first. So remember, I say this a lot, there's no wrong way to do quarantine. The only wrong way to do quarantine is by not doing quarantine. So just take care of yourselves. And if you're finding yourself comparing yourself to others, then stay off social media. Don't do anything. Just pop in a movie and stay healthy. That's all you got to do. So of course, if anyone has any questions, if anyone needs help or just needs to talk to anyone, you can find me on social media at The Michael Kushner or at The Dressing Room Project or at Dear Multi-Hyphenate, all on Instagram. And please reach out and let me know if you need any help, because we all need to be there for each other. And now moving on to this fabulous, exciting episode, I have one of my dear friends as a guest. You might have seen him in The Prom, which I saw him in The Prom multiple times. I was obsessed with the show. It's funny because it's like I listen to cast albums on the reg. It's what I listen to, but I don't often listen to a cast album that came out recently. But I listen to this cast album often because I'm obsessed with the show. I was obsessed with the show every time I saw it. And so you might have seen him in The Prom. You might have just recently seen him in Chicago Med on television. And he's just an amazing performer and musician, and above all else, one of the best people I've ever met. I'm so excited to welcome Mr. Anthony Norman. Hi, babe.
Oh my God. Hi.
What's up?
What an introduction. I am ready to disappoint everyone right now.
Well, you disappoint me on a daily basis, so.
Clearly, just based off that review. Leave me 5 stars on Yelp, and I would love that.
As long as you leave me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, then I'll leave you 5 stars on Yelp.
100%.
So I start off my episode sometimes, depending on how I'm feeling or how the conversation started, but I want to know the rose and thorn of your day.
Oh my gosh. Well, it started not too long ago, because I don't know about you, but my sleep schedule is awful. It's yep. Terrible right now.
Yep.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. I really like waking up early.
Dude, same.
You know, I like watching the sunrise and like getting a slower start to my day, and I get to enjoy more of the day. I really like that a lot. And I actually feel my best self when I wake up early and go to sleep at a fairly regular time. But
yeah,
it's been all over. Like the other day, I woke up at 7 and went to bed at like 10. And then the next day, like, woke up at like 10 and went to bed at like 4 in the morning. So no rules in quarantine.
No rules, baby. We're getting reckless.
How are you doing in quarantine? Like, what's going on? How do you feel?
I feel honestly okay. I was really appreciating what you were saying when you started the episode with your fabulous intro, I was just like, yeah, there's no wrong way to do it. And to, you know, before we all return to work, which I know we're all excited for and really looking forward to, not comparing and not spending all this time, you know, beating ourselves up for what we should be doing or thinking there is a right way to do something. I'm trying to give myself grace to, you know, to allow myself to have a day if I am not being as productive, or have a day to let myself feel bad, or have those days where you're extremely productive and you're writing a lot. Like recently I've been writing a lot more, which is great. Cause in the last, I don't know, 6 months or so, I haven't really written any new music. And, as you know, I'm a performing musician, so sooner or later I need new material. And I know you can relate to these creativity bumps where it's like, you know, 6 months you could not have anything creative, and then all of a sudden spouts of creativity and more creativity. What is the word? Inspiration.
Yeah.
Creativity and inspiration just come out of nowhere and you're like, great, let me harvest this. And I think it's coming up now because not only was I not pushing it for, I don't know, 5 or 6 months, when this whole quarantine started, I had a moment where I was like, okay, this is the time to make everything happen. And then I said, you know what? I'm not going to push it. I'm not going to look at what other people are doing, though I am guilty of definitely comparing myself to other people, especially during this time, of course. Cause I'm sure like you, I look at social media a little too much, but I'm trying to not, and I'm really working on that. Cause, I try to not look at my phone upon waking up. Like, I don't want to start my day looking at my phone, because it's like, I heard someone say that when you do that, the world is happening to you, as opposed to you discovering the world when you wake up.
Wow.
And that kind of blew my mind. I was like, oh man, that's cause think about it. Think about how much information you're taking. And if you look at Instagram or Twitter first thing, and you're scrolling through stories or looking at tweets, I don't use Twitter, I don't know how it works, but
yeah,
like you should not see Niagara Falls and then the Great Wall of China and then a muffin first thing when you wake up.
I would rather us be our own Great Wall of China first thing when we wake up.
Exactly. Exactly. Look outside your window first thing. There's already so much happening. You might be surprised what might be outside of your fire escape.
Can I tell you exactly what I see every morning when I wake up?
Please.
I look out the window and I see a man in my alleyway peeing.
Every day?
Just about. He's been a frequent flyer the past few days. And I think I'm going to offer him a punch card.
Yeah, this guy's got moxie. I mean, you got to admire his consistency.
Yeah, you know, I really love a good, you know, consistent pee schedule.
I know. I know.
You know, it's something that you could rely on. And I just feel that he's doing it like he is not letting the world happen to him. He is happening to the world.
And he is giving the world what he thinks it deserves.
It's true. And you know what? I love his form.
Really?
He just puts one arm up against the wall and just goes to town.
You know, I've been putting my head on the wall and just like no arms, and it has not been working out. So I think I'm going to try the one arm technique.
Oh, that's good. I've been putting my head on the wall and then bashing it a few times into the wall. And
let me in on a little secret. I can do that without peeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to brag, but
yeah, it seems to be a really good frustration reliever. And then once I've, you know, lost a few brain cells, then I feel ready to go on with my life.
Some people drink, some people inhabit with with the smoking, but you know, I just beat myself up against a wall every now and then, and works great.
Especially in quarantine. And I have a question for you. How do you identify as a multi-hyphenate?
Oh my gosh. Well, I had never heard that phrase until I had seen you post about it and share stories about it, through your Instagram and through your photography. And I always went, what is that? And then when I saw you come out with this podcast, which how long has this been running now? It's so cool.
What's so funny is I did two episodes about a year and a half ago. And
no way.
But that's the thing. It's producing it by myself was so difficult. And I met with the amazing brains and brawn behind Broadway Podcast Network, Dory and Alan. Yeah. And was like, I have this idea, it was really good. I just can't produce it on my own. I need help. And they were like, Hundo P. And so this started about like this chain of events started in September. And it has been so thrilling for me because I kind of, what I do is I kind of, do my field work and then report back.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
But thanks for, I'm glad that, you were seeing little hints of that. It's, it's social media is weird because it's like, even though, we are getting so much information when we're actually posting, it's like, how much can I throw into the ether? Like, what are people paying attention to?
Yeah, exactly. And do you find yourself, worrying about that, or are you at a point in your, let's say career that you are confident and secure enough that you don't, you're not worrying about what people think when you throw it out there. You're just like, I know what I'm putting out there and I'm happy about it.
Well, it's really interesting. It's like every time I do something, I revert to the why. I go, why am I doing this? Why am I, why am I posting this? Like, what is it? And sometimes I'll like in any moment, like I'll have three or four things where I'm like, I should be posting this over this or, whatever, but it really does. Like my social media does take strategy. It does, because it's like,
man,
if there is like a, like an event, like a current event, like a big day in the news, then an announcement can't happen.
Yeah.
It's really weird because it's like you also, as an empath, which we've talked about before, as an empath, it has to, my social media presence has to reflect myself. So it's like, it has, like, not only would that announcement that I have or whatever get buried, but above all else, it wouldn't reflect my sensitivity as an artist.
Man, that's really good to hear. And that's why I admire the hell out of you, because you're just such a, like, it comes with being an empath, but you're just a very considerate and kind person, and you're a very good soul. And that's really good to hear.
Well, that's really good. Thank you. And that's why I love you. I remember the first time I met you, it was with Adam Glickman. We were seeing Renaissance.
Yes. Yes.
And it was at Abrams Art Center, and I saw you with this hair. You have the best hair on Broadway. And I saw you with this incredible black coat. And I was like, oh, he's mine. not in a sexual way, but like in a
in a very sexual way. That's all this is, baby.
It's all it is, baby. Welcome to showbiz. No, but like in an energetic way, I was like, oh, this kid, I know that we're gonna connect, and here we are. So talk to me about your journey. Because you graduated college, you started working. Talk to me about making. Let's start with something that I find absolutely fascinating. Sure. Talk to me about your Broadway debut.
Oh my goodness. It was unexpected. First of all, so you had asked earlier, and I don't think I answered, but about, what defines me as a multi-hyphenate.
Yeah.
I grew up as a musician. So my family, they are all musicians. I have two older siblings, brother and a sister. And I had started playing saxophone in fourth grade. And that's how my whole career started, pretty much, was playing the saxophone. And when I got to high school, I started doing theater because my sister was older than me. And she said, you should start doing theater when you get to high school. I said, of course, sure. So we all went to the same high school, not at the same time, but it was just kind of how it worked. It's like, okay, that's where we're going. And I had you know, kept up the sax and started learning guitar and bass in the meantime. And when I started doing theater, it kind of just opened up all these doors. And I was also doing band in high school. So I started learning clarinet and flute. There were just all these instruments lying around in the band room. And so I was like, can I just take this home and start working on it? And so that's how I started becoming a multi-instrumentalist. I would just teach myself things because the internet was a thing at the time. And so I would just Google charts for clarinet, charts for flute, sight reading for piano, like that kind of thing. And then, so, you know, eventually I auditioned for schools for jazz programs for saxophone and music theater programs for college. And eventually I wound up at Millikan University. Go Big Blue, not blue, Big Blue, very big discernible difference. You know,
it's better than what Ithaca had. Ithaca, we had to say go Bombers.
Go Bombers. And in this day and age,
can't say it too loud.
Terrible. We're all whispering it. Go Bombers.
Go Big Blue.
Go Big Blue, baby. Michigan is very jealous of that phrase.
Oh, not yeah.
Because they're just blue and you're Big Blue. So.
Exactly. And we're bigger than them in every sense of the word. And so, where was I going with that? My journey. Multi-hyphenate Broadway. Yeah. So I had always imagined to make my Broadway debut as like an actor musician in like a once scenario or just something along those lines.
Like a John Doyle type of situation.
Exactly. John Doyle was my like archangel of everything Broadway. I was like, this guy gets it. And I still do think that. I still am such a fan of his. So John Doyle, if you're listening to this, my email is age. You can get it from Michael. So I'd always imagined that's how it was going to be. And, you know, when I moved to New York in 2017, there was, you know, it was my first time living here. And after a year of like what should have been the Broadway debut or like the big break, you know, I got an email from my agent. And they said, you have an invitation to a dance call for the prom. I didn't think anything of it because I said, I literally went, oh, like this isn't for me. I'm not a dancer and that's not my style, but yes, of course I'll go. And showed up on a Monday morning. There were about 100 to 200 people there. Saw a lot of friends and they made a cut. We sang. And then the next morning we danced for Casey Nicola. And there were about 14 of us. And then they made a cut to four of us. We danced again for him. And then the next morning I got a call that would be making my Broadway debut in this incredible show. And like, I can't express to you enough, Michael, how welcoming and how loving that group of people were to me. Like from day one, I'll never forget the way Christopher Sieber introduced himself to me. I was talking to a few of the teen ensemble and we were doing like our meet and greet and I feel his tap on my shoulder and it's Christopher Sieber who's like, since college was like, holy shit. Like that's like Broadway to me, Christopher Sieber.
Yeah.
And he goes, are you Anthony Norman? And I said, yes. Are you Christopher Sieber? and he gave me this huge hug and he's like, we are so, so happy you're here. We're just so grateful that you're here with us. And then I met Brooks being one of my favorite people ever. Iconic, one of the most iconic, as I know you agree with me.
Yeah.
That I saw him
as Carmen Gia in The Producers on Broadway.
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Because I found some of that performance on YouTube, and to this day, it is one of the funniest things.
Yeah, he's iconic.
And, you know, he was very sweet, very bashful. He says, "Hi, I'm Brooks." And and Beth and Angie were just everyone was so nice. And the show was just incredibly special. And I just, it feels impolite to not give it the weight that it deserves, to like give it the recognition it deserves for like that experience. But it was a truly special time.
One of my favorite recent memories was sharing the Tony party with you guys. I mean, I was so happy to be there, but it was, you know, you guys are such wonderful people, and like, you just, I don't know, you guys as a group, it was like you celebrated life so wholeheartedly, and I absolutely loved that. And talk to me about, you had like a little tradition that you did with Beth and Angie that you did before shows. What was that?
Yes, it would be right before the Act One finale of Tonight Belongs to You. I would go into their dressing room, and I would sing just a random song. It would be usually like a jazz standard, and they would have to guess what the song is. They would get it right about 12% of the time. Anytime they did, it was very exciting. And then it kind of morphed into them singing for me. It was one of my favorite traditions.
Private little concerts, right?
Absolutely.
I
actually just taught a masterclass in Connecticut with Beth right before all this happened. And it was fun to share memories and hear memories on her end of things. And she's the best.
That's amazing. Now it's so funny that you were like, "I'm not a dancer," and yes. flash forward to not only your Broadway debut, but you made Time Out's top 10 hottest chorus boys of the 2019 season.
I still think that was an inside job, and I don't buy it, but I'm very honored, very flattered.
Oh, I buy it, honey.
Well, that means the world coming from you, Mr. Kushner.
It's very funny. I mean, like, it was just when that came out, I was like, yeah, 100%, because like you're like if it were a boy band, like you'd be like the like Lance Bass of the group. You're like the one that like you got the all the like sweet, like you're like the sweet boy, like that everyone's just like, "You know who I like? I like, wait, don't tell anyone, but I have a crush on Anthony."
And they're like, "What?"
Yeah. No. Or they're just like, "You know what? Like, that can totally happen."
Oh my God. And it can. If anyone's listening to this, I'm desperate for attention.
You're desperate. Well, where can we follow you? I usually ask this at the end, but where can we follow you on social media?
You can follow me on Instagram. I don't use Twitter, but on Instagram, @A_norms. That's @A_NORMS.
And I get a kick out of what you post, because you post funny stuff. You what I like about your social media presence is that you don't take it seriously, and they're
very stupid.
Yeah, but that's the thing, it's like you don't take it seriously, so I enjoy it more because I get a laugh. It's so much more genuine than, you know, I'm starting to like, it's weird, we're starting to get like free stuff sent to us, and like, please, you know, can you do a post about this? Can you, and finding the genuine, finding the humanity in those posts is really challenging, because obviously we know that it's all, you know, that it's commercial and that it's like a, you know, a thing, but the more genuine, the more silly, the more, it is us, then, you know, I feel like the more successful it is. And I feel like you have such a genuine presence.
Oh, thank you. That's really sweet.
Of course.
I really appreciate that.
So talk to me more about songwriting. Talk to me about that journey. Talk to me about how it's helped you be a better artist, if it has.
Sure.
I want to know more.
Yeah, man. I started songwriting in, I think, 20, 2017, about right before I moved to New York. So I wrote my first song, and it was about a breakup that I had. I was actually engaged for a year. I know, I think we talked about this.
Yes, we did.
So I was engaged for a year when I was 23. And it was a very different time in my life. I was very young. I come from a very, now that I know, traditional family, and you know, I was in a relationship for 6 years, and I was like, oh, I think this is what you do. And, so I propose, and then I realized that, oh, this is, to put it in kind terms, this journey was not for me. And so, so I'm on good terms with my ex, and, she and I remain friends, which is very lovely. And I hate her, but I wish the best. No, I'm kidding. So my first song was just channeling that feeling of a breakup and things from my perspective that I wasn't really being honest about, you know, feelings that I wasn't being honest about. And so I kind of just channeled it and wrote about it and just wrote this little tune on the guitar. And sure enough, it became my first song. And then I started, just kind of exploring more and just writing. So I would write down words in notes on my phone. And, for those Android users out there, I'm so sorry to exclude, but this is an iPhone only podcast.
iPhone only, baby. If you got an Android, see yourself out.
Please leave. Thank you. And leave the door open. So I would just write words down on my phone, and then I would just make up a melody or like a progression on my guitar, and I would just try to string it along, and that's kind of how I write. It's very mishmashy and very unorthodox. Shout out to Unorthodox on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet, but I hear it's great.
It's very good. I'm like halfway through or something like that. It's so good.
And it's like a heavy drama, right?
Oh, honey. And what's amazing is like, I love Yiddish. Today, my Randy Graf episode, drops. We're recording this on the 21st of April. And, it's also Patti LuPone's birthday.
Happy birthday, Patty. I know you're listening.
Happy birthday, Patti LuPone. What'd you say?
Should we sing to Patty?
I think we should. Ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1. Happy birthday to you. Okay, so I'm going to have to say, I don't think we should sing anymore because we're recording remotely. And I can't hear you in my headphones when I talk over you. So who knows what that sounded like?
Listen, if there's a soundbite for episodes that you use, that's the one.
I think it's the one. But honestly, you know, we work through our obstacles. We work through, you know, we make discoveries. And but that's actually funny that I'm saying that is because you know, when you're talking to me about your writing, two things come to mind. Earlier, you talked about your musicianship and how and theater, and it starts with intrigue, but you're also combining that intrigue with experiences that you've shared yourself.
Yeah.
I just feel that so many people that are budding multi-hyphenates, that are people that are like, how do I get started? What do I do? My answer is start with what you know.
Yes. Yes. And I like that's it's because it's so simple, but it's all you know.
Yeah.
And you will be surprised how many people relate to what you are going through.
Yeah. I mean, that's why songs resonate so deeply within us when we hear lyrics and we're just like, oh God, that's how that breakup felt for me. That's when we're like, that's when we go, hey, listen, you need to hear this lyric. It's literally so brilliant. We're like, this chord, you know, like this chord progression, like that literally sounds like loss or celebrate, you know, that's why music can be so thrilling because it's so relatable.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and what a cool feeling. Like if you are a musician or if you are in a band, and to hear someone say something like that to you, like, I can't think of a bigger compliment than your music made me feel something.
Right. And, exactly.
There's this artist out of London. I don't know, out of the, I'll say the UK. His name is Jake Bugg. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
No.
He's like a Johnny Cash. They call him the Johnny Cash of Nottingham.
Right. That's fierce. Nottingham?
Nottingham.
And, yeah.
And he said in an interview, if I can make music that makes someone's day, that's like the best job ever. And that's how I feel. It's very, it's true. And someone has told me, hey, thank you for writing such and such. It really, lifted up my day. And like, that's because, you know, you and I have artists or cast albums that we listen to all the time when we're going through a mood.
100%.
And like, if you can make something, so like, if I can write a song that can make someone's day better, or if you have content that's making someone's day better, like the way you take your, the way you photograph people, Michael, is so special because it looks like the person. Like when you send me pictures of Zoe, I was like, that is Zoe. That is the Zoe that I know and love very much.
That's very, and, very, very, very sweet of you.
Well, I know I'm not alone in that. I know I'm not the only one that thinks that. So
thank you.
I know I'm right.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
Yeah, man. And it's a really cool thing. If our work affects someone like that, and it's a very, you know, it's just a nice little topper on the cake, on the artist's cake.
I just think that, you know, a big part of multi-hyphenating is finding your ensemble, finding your community, and you 100% are my community. And I just, you know, I think also, I'm going to say this loud and clear. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. My photography isn't good 100% of the time. You know, there are moments where the shoot could have been better. And it's, you know, and it's because of a lot of different reasons. But why I think we're so successful working together is because you're ready to go. I'm always ready to go. But as long as the other person is ready to go and meet me and go there and just be present with me, that's when I'm usually like, that was good. Did you ever see, oh God, I should find it. It's Meryl Streep doing, Taming of the Shrew in the park, I think in the 70s. And they did a documentary of it, I believe. And they're filming off, I think it's stage right. And Meryl and her Petruchio, I don't know the actor, but they run off after the big scene. And she's breathless and heaving. And she grabs him and looks at him and goes, I won that one. That was mine. I won that one. And I'm like, that's all it is. What we do, it's all a game. It's all about relationship. It's all about communication and being present. And I do meet people in the industry that are not willing to go on that journey. And I meet a lot of people in the industry that are willing to go on that journey. And you're one of those people. That's why I think whenever we work together, it's always super successful.
That's really sweet, man. I really appreciate hearing that.
You're like, my Meryl.
Stop it. Do you mean that?
I mean it.
Okay, guys, don't repeat this, but I am Meryl Streep. I am Michael Cook with Meryl Streep. So
put that on your website. Seriously.
Yeah. It's already there. My publicist is here.
Oh my god, so. I love that. Hi Shirley. I don't know what your publicist name is.
Yeah, no, Shirley. She says don't call me Shirley, but I'm like, come on. Let's be real.
And he's quick too.
Come on.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Something else that's on your website is Coffee Enthusiast. Now, what do I have to know? Do I have to know anything?
In terms of me being a coffee enthusiast?
Yeah. Is that like a conversation starter, or is that like a, you know, your coffee?
It usually is. It's not just there for a conversation starter, because it usually starts a conversation, but usually the person gets so tired of hearing about it about 5 seconds in. So it's usually it's a conversation starter, but also a stopper.
That's hysterical.
Because no one really wants to hear about it, because I am genuinely interested in it. And I do know my coffee, and I love knowing more about it, because I feel like I don't know enough. Because I would barista as my day job here, just because I love it.
Right.
I've worked in a few different coffee shops here, and I have my own coffee set up at home. When I moved into this new apartment, it's my first time living alone. That's a very big humble brag, but it's my first time. And my goal was to have a little coffee bar in my kitchen. And I have one, and it feels awesome. It feels like my id, if that makes sense.
I love that so much. But you also have a great music setup.
Thanks.
Can you talk to me more about that? Because I know that it doesn't seem like a big thing, but I think that having a really comfortable setup where you could do your work, you know, like I have my home studio, and I think that, you know, seeing that, you know, what I need in order to get my tunes out there is like, it's a mic, it's a stand, it's the foam boards to take in sound. Talk to me about how you discovered that and how that's helped you.
Will do. Yeah. So my brother is a composer full time and a music producer.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So he writes music for like slot machines and, games on your phone. Yeah. So the company that created Candy Crush, he is the senior music producer in that company. And he also has own LLC where he writes music for he freelance writes for games and etc. And it's really fucking cool. And he underplays it so much, and I'm so mad at him, but that's how he supports his family. And he has two kids and he's killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I ask him, I pick his brain a lot when it comes to what kind of mic to buy, how to mix a song. And I don't know how to mix my music. And I'm sure, does Lauren Molina have a setup in her home? Is that how they record their stuff, or do they outsource? Yeah. Lauren Molina is honestly goals, because when I saw photos of that Charlie Brown that they did, in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, and it was an incredible production.
God, it's like, oh yeah, that's what I want to do. So shout out to them, because I remember seeing Lauren right after she got back. She came and saw the show, the prom, and I was like, how was it? It looked amazing. It looked so cool.
I think we were there the same night. I think it was Max, Lauren, and I.
Yes. Yeah. And we were on stage. We were all gabbing on stage.
One of the most amazing things about that show is just watching you guys communicate and have fun and create a family. It was amazing.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
It's just all very cool. And I love watching you, your vibe and your total package unfold, the things that you offer, and you kind of also surprise us. It's amazing. It's like every time I think like we know you or something, you always send something out where I'm like, God, he is just, you know, you just, I don't know. You kind of, I think what's beautiful about it is that you're on a constant journey of self-discovery. So I am with you, and I love learning about you as you do.
God damn, dude. That is so sweet.
Yeah, that is of course.
Really sweet. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Oh my gosh.
I'm trying to learn. It's I'm trying to learn as much as I can. When I was still living in Chicago back in 2016, I tried to get into circus performing and tumbling, and then I had a really bad back injury, and so I can't do that anymore. But
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I learned to tumble as an adult, and then I wanted to get into like clowning and stuff, and I was practicing one night at the tumbling gym, and I went home and I thought I had a hernia.
Wow.
And my third and fourth vertebrae were out of place.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I killed it. And needless to say, I'm not in the industry anymore.
Yeah. I have a question for you. What's something that you've discovered about yourself that, because I know that you teach young theater students. I mean, hey, you taught a workshop, a masterclass with Beth Level. That's pretty freaking cool.
I know. It's stupid.
What are things that you have learned about yourself that you have brought to the younger kids that you think, is really important and really, really special that only you can offer them?
That's a really good question. Honestly, that things take time, and knowing that that's okay. And you will learn and achieve something in your own time, and that there's no timeline for when something should happen. Unless it's like, you know, you're in rehearsal and you have to learn this dance number by this day. But like just things in your life that can take time, just being okay with how you learn things and when you will learn it. I wish I had known that growing up, but I felt like everything had to happen immediately. And, you know, I was sight reading on piano yesterday. I was just practicing, and I was very frustrated because I wasn't getting it right away. And I just have to remind myself that things take time, and that's okay.
You know, it's really interesting. It's things do take time, and you had such a huge life moment so soon after you graduated that I feel like I feel like when that happens, at least with me, when I have a big moment, I'm like, great, let's ride this wave. What's next? What's next? What's next? But at every time that there's I don't mean to speak for you at all, but every time for me that there's like a big life moment like that, I'm like, great, I'm a star. Like when I graduated from college, I worked 3 big gigs in a row, got my card, did an out of town tryout of a Broadway show, and then nothing. And that's, you know, but that's also because I went back to the drawing boards and I did a lot of like work on myself. But it's, you know, being kinder to myself and understanding who I was, where I was a huge life lesson, and was able to pull aspects of my artistry out that I'm so thankful for.
That's amazing. And like it's like at times like that where it's like there was a halt, that it seems like there was a halt in your life and in your career, like the then nothing aspect of it all. It's like I don't mean to speak for you, but I'm sure you're grateful for that.
Oh my God, I'm so grateful for it. And I love moments of pause. Obviously, I don't want moments of pause to be long.
Right.
but I like moments, you know, where like this is a moment of pause, you know, of like, okay, well, I'm sitting here. I don't have my typical 12 p.m. and 3 p.m. clients. What am I going to do to fill that void or keep myself prepared for when we come back, when, you know, what are the things I learned about myself? It's like what I was saying in the beginning, like, what will I have learned about myself that I can carry on to this next chapter of my life?
And that's something that I think is being glossed over too much. And I think it's being saturated with, well, I got to just put out so much content.
Right.
And it's like, you don't have to do that. Please stop and just reel it in, man. And think about what you want to get out of this. And so glad you said that.
I literally jumped out of the shower this morning and like said to Remy, my boyfriend, I was like, babe, I have this idea. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. And he literally calmed me down and he was like, that's a good idea, but I don't think you should do it now because you have this and this and this going on. And then when you want to do that, you'll be able to see when the appropriate time is to do that. And I was like, you're right. You're right. And I could plan it better and I can be less impulsive. I can cultivate that idea. And when it's ready to come out, it'll be fully realized and impenetrable and a huge success. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. We all need a Remy in our lives.
We all need a Remy in our lives. It's true.
Yeah. Give it time and let it incubate and let it grow. Let like there's nothing wrong with putting time into something. It doesn't all need to happen.
And speaking of time, babe, we got to wrap this up.
Let's wrap it up like a Christmas gift, baby.
Oh, honey, this little Jew has never been more excited for Christmas than.
in this great pause, this is like the greatest hits of great pauses in our lives.
It's true. Oh, that would be funny to come up with like a video of like an SNL sketch of like, these were the songs written and during the great pause of 2020. And it's like, you know, like I walked from the bathroom to the kitchen and back again, you know, and it's like,
that's a ballad.
I think that's what you're going to, I think I want you to write that during this time is like the greatest hits of the great pause of 2020.
You got it. There will be an accordion track in there somewhere. So, you know, get your hopes up.
I love a good accordion, and I love you. Again, remind us where we can find you on social media.
Oh, I love you very much, so much. You can find me at @a_norms on the Instagram, and you can find my website. Check me out on www.anthonyjnorman.com.
All right, babe. You're the best, and I can't wait to see you when this is all over.
Mwah, mwah, mwah. Thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate you having me.
Me too, babe. Talk soon, okay?
Okay. Bye.
This podcast is produced by the Broadway Podcast Network. Make sure to find me online via Instagram @TheMichaelKushner or @TheDressingRoomProject or on Twitter @MKushnerPhoto. And visit me online via bpn.fm/DearMulti-it.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.